The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And I could listen to a little Led Zeppelin all morning. Lonis George Brockler on 710 KNUS. We are trying to work out our contact with State Senator Rhonda Fields. She's going to be on with us to talk to us about something really bad that happened to her and her home, and how it's impacted her, but also some of the cases that she's working on, some of the bills that she's working on right now. But I don't want to get into the story without her because it's too personal and it's too poignant when it comes from her. What I'd really rather do is just make sure that we can continue to work on getting her on board and shift to this other incredible story that took place that Billy talked about at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. And that is this story out of Highlands Ranch. Now, I was a Highlands Ranch resident from 1996 until 2014. So a long time. I mean, over 20 years. Well, actually, it's very close to 20 years. I was there for a long, long time. And so this one hits close to home. And if you didn't read about this or hear about this on the news, here's what's going on. There were two Highlands Ranch folks that ended up getting arrested. And it was because on the Friday before, so a week ago today, DCSO, that's Douglas County Sheriff's Office folks, responded to a call of somebody who had suffered an injury. I don't know how serious it is. That isn't clear to me. After having a loud explosion take place when they went to the front door of a house. Now, that house, I think, may have had like a no trespassing sign or maybe a no soliciting sign, something like that. This person who was doing some business or whatever went to the door, maybe anyway, I don't know, and looked down and saw a wire was caught around his leg as he went up onto the porch area. And then as he tried to manipulate his leg out of that wire, boom, there was a loud explosion. He felt pain in his ear. His vision was affected. Don't know about the leg. I presume, based on the story that Billy gave, it involved this same type of device, which was a an unhoused or whatever shotgun shell. Like, it wasn't in a shotgun. So the explosion was just a loud bang. Don't know if there were pellets in it or shrapnel. You can imagine the injury would be much more obvious and severe and would be described as more than just the sound and all that other stuff. For this guy to suffer that kind of I don't want to make it sound de minimis because we don't know the extent of the injury. You just feel like had it been a shotgun shell and he had been hit by shot, pellets, whatever it was, there would be more damage and it would be easier to see. Nonetheless, guy suffers an injury, calls DCSO. He had to have a coworker help him to get to the hospital. And what's interesting to me is that it took detectives a few days to start really digging into the evidence. At least that's how the article reads in the Gazette. And while they're investigating, they find another device in that same area, similar to one that had hurt this guy. And so they get a search warrant, they execute the search warrant, they gather up some more evidence, and they end up arresting a dude who's 61, and I believe his wife or partner or some other woman that lives there, similar age, named Tracy. So Brian and Tracy get hooked up. They ended up getting arrested on and suspicion of second-degree assault, felony menacing, and prohibited use of a weapon. Now, the second-degree assault, I'm going to presume, is recklessly causing serious bodily injury to another person. And it's got to be serious bodily injury. If it's just recklessly causes an injury, that would be a misdemeanor assault charge unless they've added on the kicker of either SBI or with a deadly weapon. And the issue will be, is this a deadly weapon that was used? That's my guess. So the DA's office, and it's the 18th, it's Kellner's office. I presume they're going through that right now. And they just have way more facts than you and I have. But that's not the point of the conversation. There's also felony menacing, which is putting someone in fear of imminent serious bodily injury or death by means of a deadly weapon. And then the prohibited use of a weapon, it must be something that they're concocting out of this charge that explodes. So here's what happens. This thing takes place. These people get arrested. There's $25,000 bond. Oh, we got her. I want to have this conversation with you, but only after, and it's only sort of related because it involves the House and all this. I want to have on the line with us right now, we have Senator Rhonda Fields. Senator Fields, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I know how busy you are because you guys are in the middle of your 120-day sprint with legislation. Yeah. So thank you for that. There were two things I wanted to talk about with you. One,
okay.
I read in the paper something horrible that happened to you and your family and your home, yeah. And I wanted to talk about that and bring some attention to it.
Yeah, thank you. You know, like your home and many of your listeners, our homes are our resting spots. It's a place that we feel safe. It's a place where we can relax. It's a place that we feel secure. And that's my home. That's my resting spot. After working all day down at the Capitol, when I come home, I want to rest. And then, unfortunately, there was a bullet that flew through my front window, through the shears, through my china cabinet, back of the china cabinet, and then lodged itself in the wall. It was such a scary thing. Luckily, no one was at home. No one was hurt. But it just goes to show that, you know, bullets, you know, you just never know where they're going to land. And so, or people are using guns in a really reckless manner. Accidental deaths can happen. There's just so much that could have went wrong in this scenario that I'm just describing.
Well, how did you discover this first off? Mercifully, yeah. It sounds like you weren't sitting on your couch or behind a table where this thing happened.
Yeah, it was discovered. I normally water my plants once a week. And so when I was watering it, I noticed there was a hole in my shear. And the first thing I thought of was my grandson because, you know, kids throw things. And maybe he didn't tell me. And then I looked first, so if he threw it, it would have been, where's the item at? And then I looked and I saw shattered glass on the inside of the window and then on the outside of the window. Once again, I thought it was a rock. And then I started looking at the shattered glass. It was on the carpet leading to the china cabinet. And once again, I said, oh my God, that's impossible for a rock to do that. And looked, pulled my china cabinet, and just saw it lodged there. So that's how I discovered it. It was like, you know, doing a regular routine. Now, the police did discover, they believe that they saw someone in a car that was shooting. I'm getting different reports. First report, it was two road rage kind of thing with people shooting at each other. Then they're saying it's one car, so I really don't know if it was a targeted kind of a thing. It was one bullet. When they did their investigation, there was not like a spree of other bullets that you would find in the area. If there was a two-car road rage, they didn't find any other bullets anywhere. And so it's scary, and it's very unsettling, and it's alarming for me because this is my resting spot. This is my home. And no one should have to deal with a flying bullet coming through your home. I'm just so thankful that no one was hurt or harmed.
Well, and we're talking with Senator Rhonda Fields about a bullet that went through her house into a wall. Your mind must go crazy trying to rationalize what happened. And I'm not sure if there's a better conclusion. Like, on the one hand, you might think, as you pointed out, the front end, maybe this was just some accidental discharge and the round went through it. And maybe you find, like, okay, it was an accident. That's still super scary that people are around my house with guns that don't know what they're doing. Or you think maybe it was random and there was some other act of violence taking place, a drive-by somewhere else, and a bullet just went where it shouldn't have gone. But that's also horrifying. The worst has to be to wonder, is somebody targeting me and trying to send me a message? Any progress from Aurora PD on answering which one of those it was?
Yeah, and you know, the Aurora Police Department believes that it was a just a random shooting. That's what they believe. That's what they're kind of standing on. And there's no evidence to suggest anything else at this point. So that's what the police are saying. And so I don't have a badge. I can't go out and do my own investigation or apprehend whoever did this. That's really the role of law enforcement. My larger concern is that where I live at, and you've been by my home, I live in a tri-level, so it's not like the shot was not ground level. So it was in the elevated area. So, you know, they just have to do their job. I'm concerned about the random. We hear gunshots all the time over here. Pop, 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 pop.
Oh, my God.
We have Ring in this neighbor exchange. So did you hear that? And no one's really reporting it, and it's becoming like a normal thing to hear gunshots in this area.
Why don't they report it? Why do your neighbors not report it?
I think you just get you. Maybe they do. I know when I hear it, I look at it and I say, oh, "Did you hear it?" I'm over here in Peoria and stuff and such, and I don't report because it feels like, well, it's not close to where I'm at. And it's just becoming a normal sound. And so they need to get some technology to find out, you know, where these concentrated gunshots are. Because I talk to people, say, yeah, we hear gunshots all the time. And I don't want that to be normal for my family and for my kids. We already have school drills where we're ducking and hiding. Now we're going to have to be doing that in our homes.
It does sound like there's a little bit of normalcy to it, though. I mean, the idea that, like, listen, in my neighborhood, we don't hear shots. And I feel like because of that, if we did hear a gunshot, there'd be multiple calls to the police. And maybe this is just my own naivete. But, you know, we have a well-respected, long-term serving state senator in a neighborhood where you guys are hearing this just often enough that folks are like, well, it wasn't near me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, that's telling. About the level of crime that is there. I'm sorry, and I really hope they figure out who did this and they're held accountable for whatever they did. If it was an accident, okay, we know how to deal with that. But if it was more than that, man, I'd love to know. This just shouldn't be happening, whether it's to your house or some others. And here's what I wonder, too.
Exactly.
How many families don't have State Senator Rhonda Fields in their home where this happens, and it never gets reported to the public? Like, the public doesn't see that there are bullets just going into homes.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. You know, I have talked to the police chief, talked to him this week, and also the investigator. And they say they do get reports when they, you know, people do report it. They do investigate it, the same level of the kind of investigation they gave me. They give it to every citizen. And, but, you know, what can I say? It's just I'm able to lend voice to it, you know, and I don't have any statistics in reference to the volume or the number or the specific concentrated area where this is happening at. And that's where I think the neighborhoods could help, and my neighbors. If it happens to you, you need to report it. They need to collect the data on it. It needs to be investigated, and we need our communities to be safer, and that's the job of law enforcement.
We're talking with State Senator Rhonda Fields. If you don't mind, I'd love to shift gears and talk about something else that you're working on. Now, this had been in the news. I kind of took it for granted that this was going to have smooth sailing, but there's a bill out there that's attempting to address the fact that Colorado is number one in the country for stolen cars. And one of the things that happened during an exploration of the law and what could lead to this was this sort of epiphany that we have laws set up that treat victims differently based on the value of their car. And there's a law out there that is, or a bill out there that is trying to become law to change all that. Tell us about it. And are you running into opposition anywhere? Is there pushback on this?
You know, I have not heard any opposition. I know that I personally support the bill. And if there is opposition, typically it's on the end of our sentencing scheme. You know, like what is going to be the crimes associated with that, and then who would be arrested and charged for that. So there's always a concern that we're not overly focusing in and concentrating on, you know, people of color being negatively impacted by this. And so that would probably be a concern. But as far as I'm concerned, the value of the car should not make a difference. Because, you know, if I had a Pinto or a Kia or whatever it is, that's my lifeline to get to work, to take my kids to school, to access resources within the community. And that's traumatic when someone takes your car and you have somewhere to go. So I support the increase of the felonies that's associated with stealing the car. You know, and I think you would know this in the law. I think there's different penalties based on the value. So I think if you shoplift, if there's a burglary, 2,000 or more, there's different penalties associated. I'm not quite sure why we would have in a statute there's a difference based on the value of the car. I think that doesn't speak well to our criminal justice system, that just because you have a used car or whatever, that your crime is lesser than someone that's driving, let's say, a Lexus or a Mercedes or a Tesla.
Right, right. I think what happened, if I'm guessing here, about how the law got here, was that we treat most of our theft crimes based on value, right? Like if you stole $50 from somebody, we treat that maybe as a misdemeanor. You steal $5 million from somebody, that's a big time felony. And I think we took that same mindset and applied it to a car like it was just some other object to be stolen, like the value mattered in terms of the impact to the victim, and it clearly doesn't. And I think what we're doing here and what your support of this bill signifies is we want to treat cars more like houses. Like if someone breaks into your house, Senator Fields, that's a burglary. Whether your house is Peyton Manning's mansion or the cheapest, most run-down house that someone can afford anywhere in the state of Colorado, doesn't matter. Your home, as you stated at the beginning of this interview, your home is your castle. It is your resting place. It is the place you feel safe. That's what the law recognizes. Doesn't care about the value. And I think what this law does with cars is to try to say, that's how we should be thinking about cars, right? Like it's not whether you have Peyton Manning's Range Rover. And by the way, if you're driving a Pinto, Senator Fields, please don't brake check anybody, because I don't know if you remember from in the day, but those things will explode.
Oh, just yes, gonna,
maybe you leave that one in the garage or something like that. Yes, but I really do think this approach is an approach that tries to take a justice view of this, not some forced understanding of value. I was talking with Maisha, your fantastic daughter, the other day, and I said, in some ways, it's worse to steal a person's low dollar car, because chances are, unless they're restoring something, that's it for them and the whole family, right? Like they don't have
that's
a fleet of vehicles to turn to. That's it. You take that car, you've stranded them. No school, no work, no going to the doctor. Probably couldn't afford Uber if they needed to. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything else, Senator Fields, that you got working on in the pipeline right now that you want to tell us about? And then we'll cut you back loose to work on your big day.
You know, I would just encourage that everyone out there just watch and listen to the work that we're doing. And if anybody has any concerns or thoughts, they need to contact their senator or their representative to lend voice to the way they would support a policy or not. Because a lot of times, if we don't hear from the community, then we have no way to lend voice to it. So I would just encourage people to kind of stay engaged and stay involved.
Oh, that's good advice. And I know there are some other bills. If I had a longer segment
with
you, I would love... I would love to chat with you about it. And I know the ones that are grabbing all the headlines right now are all the gun bills and some of the other abortion bills that are out there. Those seem to be gobbling up all the air in the room, not the other hundreds of bills that you guys work on a daily basis.
There's a lot of good stuff happening, especially as it relates to strengthening our schools, providing greater access to health care, our public safety issues as it relates to investing in stopping some of the crime that's going on in our state. There's a lot of good things, and I would love to come back and talk about those items as well.
The last question, then, if you don't mind, and I just, you can explain it more if you like, but we've got the safe injection site overdose prevention bill that's going on out there.
Yes.
Where are you on that?
I don't support that. You know, I think of all the things that we as a state should be doing is not creating a safe place for people to inject drugs. And I think what that attracts to communities or to that area is not a healthy, thriving kind of situation. I understand substance abuse and addictive behavior, and I think we need to get people the resources and the support that they need to address that without having to provide an opportunity for people to hover around. I mean, there's other ripple effects, I believe, for law enforcement and for people to think that this is a safe place to hang out, to do drugs, to exchange drugs. There's a lot that could be, that I don't know if it's been thought through, but I am not in favor of that piece of legislation, and I will be voting no.
Same. Do you think that thing makes it through, that it passes?
You know, I don't know. You know, every bill has a fair hearing and a fair shot, and a lot of times we debate it way into the hours. So I haven't had a chance to check the pulse on it. All I know where I stand and how I'm going to be using my voice, it will be a no. And my colleagues will then have to weigh in on how they feel. But, you know, every bill, I think, has a fair shot, some less than others. And I think it might have a shot. I think it might have
crazy.
A shot. And I think it might have an opportunity, but I'm not in favor of it. I want to see every kid being able to read at grade level.
Right, right. Aside from all the stuff you've just said, which resonates with me a ton, I think to myself, okay, so you passed this thing. Who wants this in their neighborhood, right? Like, who wants this next to their business? Like, whether you think it's a good thing or not, where are you going to put this in Denver that people go, I want to hang out over there? You know, it's just tough.
I wouldn't. And I don't want my kids seeing, you know, use syringes on the ground, because a lot of times, you know, if they can't go inside, they might go in the back of the building or the side of the building or in front in their car. I just think it attracts all the wrong activity around that safe spot that's considered an injection site.
That's right. And readers are leaders, not injectors. I don't know if that's the actual phrase, but Senator Fields, thanks for joining us this morning. And if they do end up solving the crime that was committed for you and your family, please let us know. I'd love to have you back on to talk about it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Have a great weekend. Bye.
You too. Thanks, Senator Fields. Hey, that was Senator Rhonda Fields from out of Aurora, doing great work there. I'm glad I ended up getting to ask her about the safe injection sites stuff too, but you know, I take it for granted that I live in a safe place where if there's a gunshot, police are just going to show up, because at least 1 to 100 people are going to say, hey, I think there was a gunshot in my neighborhood. Here's Senator Fields living in a place with a bunch of good people who have been confronted by that sound so often that they judge it in terms of how close was it to me? Do I care enough to say anything to someone? And now there's a bullet in her house. I mean, that's just... that is craziness. There's got to be something that we do, probably a telltale sign also of some other things that are worsening in the community right now, and that is just the crime rate. But we've been talking about that for a lot. Listen, when we come back, any reaction you had to what you heard from Senator Fields, of course, will take you at 303-696-1971 And then I want to shift over to this booby trap story because I think there's a real issue there to explore with the community, and we'll talk about it. If you have an opinion, if you know that story and you have an opinion, like why in the hell did they charge that those folks, or why are they arresting them? Let me know. 303-696-1971. We'll keep that conversation going when we come back in just a minute. It's George Brockman on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here, 710 KNUS. It's the Friday edition. It's the last day of the week. It is also St. Patrick's Day. Try to wear a little bit of green, unless you want the pension, which is fine. I've gone down that road before. Listen, our number 303-696-1971. My thanks to State Senator Rhonda Fields for coming on and talking to us about what happened with her and her family and her home, but also to talk about the bill that we're trying to get over the goal line here, which is to at least, and it's a small, small effort, in terms of the overall impact, but it's a meaningful one in terms of justice, and that is to increase the level of any car theft from a misdemeanor to a felony and separate it, divorce it, if you will, from the value of the vehicle. I just think that makes a lot of sense. And then heartened to hear that the state senator from Aurora is opposed to the safe injection site. We're going to have Kwame Spearman on in the next hour, as well as Peter Lafari, to talk about some other issues in the area, including Kwame making the decision.
Pardon me, George. We'll talk to Kwame on Monday. I just got off the air with him. Didn't have time to talk to that. And he's had something come up. Or he's got a better deal.
Oh,
or maybe
rats.
He found out. Yeah, maybe someone invited him to an early morning St. Patrick's Day buffet or whatever it was. He found out it was, you know, 2-for-1 at Krispy Kreme. I'm not sure, but he got a better offer. So he'll be on, 8 o'clock on Monday, unfortunately. Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, I'm glad we're going to have him on Monday.
Yeah, I just want to let you know.
And looking at, by the way, the baseball schedule, folks, it looks like I'll be doing the show remotely on Monday as well.
Oh,
I just don't know from where.
I hope so.
It's almost like what's that Carmen?
Yeah, where in the world is Carmen San Diego? Yeah, where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
That's me. Yeah.
Where in the world is George Brockler? We can guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, I try to be very forward about that. Listen, my goal is for us to somehow, Billy, be able to do the show remotely from another country.
That would be great.
We have not yet been able to do that.
You know what we need to do also?
Contiguous U.S.
You know, there's also, I'm just saying that, you know, if you know people and can pull some strings, there are also things like Disney cruises, and they like to do giveaways and promotions for those. And oftentimes the talent and maybe even the producer has to be on the ship to broadcast remotely.
Hey, sales
it's such
team.
A big deal.
Are you listening to this sales team? Ellen?
It'd be nice. It'd be kind of cool. I'm just saying, I'm open for it. I'm just, you know, it'd be nice.
I'm open for it, too.
I'm an idea
frankly,
guy.
This show needs to highlight some of what's going on in a place called Oahu. That's nobody talks about it.
I wonder if they have a homeless problem and do they have drug injection sites? I think we need to go investigate. And is there an illegal immigration problem?
Van City was a great place to go, but I need a place like Waikiki to have a safe injection site so that we can do that. And they have a border. It's the island.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know,
how effective is that? Maybe we have to talk about that. We have to investigate how effective the water is versus the wall. And so maybe the solution isn't necessarily
a
wall.
One.
Maybe it's a moat. You know, it's some alligators. I don't know. I'm going a little medieval.
I'll be honest. When we were down there, we looked at the Rio Grande. There were parts of it that seemed awfully parched. Like it was not going to be a deterrent
at all.
I don't know what was going on. Climate change is what my kids would say. Listen, I started to tease before Senator Fields got on the phone with us. This story out of Highlands Ranch, two folks late in life, I would say, now that I look at their ages, not late in life, young spring chickens who are in their 50s and 60s, who set up some booby traps purportedly around their home, including the front door, and it ended up injuring a guy who was going door to door. Now, my presumption is they have a sign or something that says no trespassing, no soliciting. Maybe it says both. You know, sometimes you see those cute little signs that say this house protected by, you know, Smith and Wesson or a canine, or in Billy's case, protected by a snake or something like that. And that, you know, I think is intended to keep people away. This is a person that goes door to door. There's this blast. They suffer some kind of an injury. And now the discussion becomes about, and again, the news is quick to say they've been charged with or they were arrested on these charges. They're not really charged with anything. They're not really accused formally in the system, because the arrest and the charges that the officers bring them in on are merely for the purposes of setting bond. They are not in and of themselves accusations at all. So who knows, man? Maybe Kellner comes away from this thing and says, I'm not going to charge. And let's be clear about why the DA would do that. There's two good reasons. There's a couple, maybe there's three, two good reasons that I can think of. One is, remember that to ethically move forward with a charge, you have to have a good faith basis to believe that somebody committed a specific crime. That's number one. And number two, and you have a reasonable likelihood of success at trial. That is the ethical minimum that a prosecutor must have. Now, we have seen other DAs in other parts of the state make mistakes on one or both of those prongs, and I'm sure John doesn't want to do that here. So one of the things he might do is look at this, and his team of, you know, experts that are on there, I know I put most of them in place, will look at this and say, yeah, we don't have it. Whatever those charges are, the second degree assault, the menacing, the prohibited use of a weapon, don't see it. And so they don't think they can ethically move forward. Or, and here's the part where I want you to become a voice on this. Or they have it. And they say, you know what? This matches up to a couple charges we have. Maybe it's recklessly causing injury by means of a deadly weapon or serious bodily injury. We don't know the extent of the injuries. And maybe it's menacing, you know, putting someone in fear of imminent serious bodily injury or death by means of a deadly weapon. But they don't charge because they don't think they have a reasonable likelihood of success at trial. Now, I know that they're going to rely upon their own experience and expertise, having done this forever and in the community, to gauge whether or not that last part is true. But you and I, we don't have to wait. You and I can already start to advise them informally. And you get to be the jury on this. And so if you heard of this case, one, I want to ask, do you think that it should be illegal to have booby traps? That's one thing. All right, that's the one separate part of the conversation. But should we allow people to booby trap their property, and under what circumstances? That's a 303-696-1971. But the other part of this, and this is the part that, and I know Kilner listens from time to time when he's not skiing with the kids, and that is, would you hold someone accountable for this? Do you think that they should be prosecuted for doing this? And if so, why or why not? That's what I want to know. 303-696-1971. These folks in Highlands Ranch, they didn't invent booby traps. They're not the first people to do it. I mean, if you picture even, I think it was 1992's smash hit with Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone, and I think even Home Alone 2, booby traps were a big part of what that kid did to Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci. And it was funny, and it was, oh, there's the blowtorch burning his hat in the top of his head, and he has to go put it in the snow, and there's Daniel Stern slipping on the ice, and he falls, and he hurts, and it was all funny. So, but that wasn't what invented it. Booby traps have been around for a while, and you should know case law about booby traps has been out there for a long time. There's no specific statute that says that you can't have a booby trap that I'm aware of. I'd love to take a look at it. I haven't come across this during my time as a prosecutor yet. But there are cases where somebody was trying to protect their business, and so they set up a shotgun over a particular window. I think it was like a garden-level window. And so that when someone would try to break in, kablooey, boom, and it would take them out. And that turned into a case. And in that particular case, the law came back and said, no, you can't do that. And there's good reasons for it, and I'd love to explore those with you. But what I want to hear from you is, you are the person advising the DA, not because you're a lawyer, but because you're a person in the community, and you say you definitely need to bring this charge or you definitely do not need to bring this charge. 303-696-1971. What do you do with a booby trap? And I should ask before we cut away, when we come back, by the way, we'll take callers too, but I'm frankly interested to know if Billy's ever gone down the booby trap route. And frankly, you've got snakes, man. You could set up booby traps with snakes. That's pretty cool too. Like if a snake dropped on someone, you know, it's a Raiders of the Lost Ark moment there. They freak out, you get happy, they don't steal your TV. I like the way that is. Let's cut away for a break. We'll take a look at the text, we'll take a look at the phone calls, we'll come back and keep having the conversation. Then at 8 we'll be joined by Peter Lafari. I was fascinated by his conversation. 303-696-1971. It's George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here on 710 KNUS. It's that time of the show. It's the wrap-up show to make us smarter on what's going on in the financial world and to help us have that conversation. Someone who is heavily invested in the NCAA tournament right now for Duke, and that's Brian Gray. Sir, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm good, but are you worried at all after you see some of the upsets last night? I mean, that was kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm not too worried right now the way Duke played yesterday. I think they won by 20 points, but it's going to be a wild tournament. You never know. Most people's brackets are busted after yesterday with those two unlikely winners. So now it's just sit back on the couch, watch the TV, and not worry about your bracket.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. What's going on out there
today? It's going to be a pretty good weekend. Hey, we're starting off in the red pretty good here. We got the down 250 points, S&P's down 18, and then the NASDAQ's down 27. You know, George, we talked a little bit about this on last Friday when news started circulating about Silicon Valley Bank, and that's the big concern right now. The next biggest bank that everybody is watching is Credit Suisse Bank. They came out yesterday and they basically said they will be borrowing $50 billion from Swiss National Bank to keep its doors open and cover some of the deposits, as well as extending its hours. So I can see where taking the loan from Swiss National Bank is going to help you. I don't know about extending the hours, but we'll keep an eye on that one. And then the other big news is going to be next week. What's the Fed going to do? Are they going to raise it 25 points? Are they going to raise it 50 basis points? You know, the only silver lining to what we've been going through here the past 6 months to a year with the Fed raising rates, I was driving in this morning and I heard on the radio where there's a 5% CD out there for only a one-year hold.
Whoa.
So I'm not going to say the bank because I can't do that, but there are some positives out of all this. I guess we're grasping for it right now, but if we can get this market to turn around just a little bit today, we've got a chance to finish positive for the week, which would be nice. But got a lot going on. This banking industry is really shaking up the market. It's got everybody spooked, and we'll just have to keep an eye on it.
Brian, I would pepper you with 8 million questions, but I know you've got a busy, busy morning. When you come back next week, I want to pepper you with a million questions because we'll know a lot more. We'll have what the Fed's going to do.
Definitely.
We'll know a little bit more about how this banking thing has shaken out, but dude, I love you for coming on. I can't say go Duke. I want you to be happy. I'm just not sure. I don't think I could bring myself to say go Duke. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing, it is a matter of trust. They're prepared to earn yours, not just expect it, but earn it. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. 0918. Brian, have a great basketball weekend.
Hey, you too, George. Good talking to you.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
We've been talking about booby traps, and not just because it has the word booby in it, but because it's important to a case that's just starting to develop, and you get to weigh in on it. Let's go to the phone lines at 303-696-1971. Mark, you're on 710. What do you think?
Well, I think you're very prejudicial in calling it a booby trap. I think what I saw there was nothing more than alarm. I don't see the difference if a cutoff shotgun shell makes noise versus a speaker making a noise. That's all it did. And I don't see how do you define booby trap. I mean, give me your ironclad definition. And if it was a firearm, where's the serial number?
Yeah, listen,
there wasn't a projectile.
It doesn't have to be a firearm to be the prohibited use of a weapon, because weapon isn't just a firearm. But here's what I'd say.
Sure.
An alarm that was designed to cause ear or eye damaging sound or light would probably also run afoul of the law. But this is something different. This sounds like an explosion of sorts. That's a little bit different than a high pitched kind of dog whistle gone crazy, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but when I see the pictures, all I see was a cutoff shotgun shell. They cut it off all the way at the brass base. It's not that loud. I mean, I know people today have to wear hearing protection. What's to warn you in case somebody's, you know, coming up to your door after you told them don't cross this line?
Yeah, picture a Girl Scout, man. And for whatever reason, the Girl Scouts going door to door, dad or mom are at the end of the block. They've given them the map. They don't know the no trespassing, no soliciting, whatever signage they have. Is that cool for them? Is that cool for the Girl Scout?
I guess, again, I think it's an alarm.
But is that the
kind of situation? But
yeah, if it's an alarm, like a high-pitched sound or an alarm or something.
You're going to send a child out. You're going to send a child out to sell something door to door, and they don't even know how to read, or they don't.
I don't know if it's a question
of
not
training or information.
I don't know if it's a question of don't know how to read.
That's child abuse there. I mean,
so the parents are responsible for the dude who had the shotgun shell blow up next to the girl because she was trying to sell cookies. It's the parents' fault. So they're the ones that should be charged.
I don't think that you should be sending children out to sell stuff door to door and have them with absolutely no kind of training, no kind of not informing them
training,
in any
man.
Way.
Mark, have you seen pictures of the house? Have you seen pictures of the house?
I've only seen pictures, like, I guess, of the front porch of the their.
Yeah, so that's more than I've seen. I haven't seen it. Were there signs posted? Was it like danger, beware, you know, shotgun shell, blah, 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 stuff like that?
There was a sign that said keep out. No solicitors, okay. Keep out.
No solicitors. Now, I get that. But nobody interprets a no solicitors sign to say, if you step on our porch, there's going to be an explosion and you could be hurt. Like if someone said, booby traps on the front porch, pretty sure nobody goes on the porch.
Well, yeah, I think it's an alarm. I wouldn't call it a booby trap.
Why not just use a regular alarm? They could clearly rig it up. These guys MacGyvered a shotgun shell into that. Why couldn't they just use something that just produced sound instead of an explosion?
Well, because you make the perfect the enemy of the good.
This was just a lame attempt at an alarm.
I mean, they weren't as talented, I guess, as somebody else, and they probably didn't see the consequences. This isn't a genius idea, what they did.
If I really don't know the extent of his injuries, I do think that that matters quite a bit in the analysis here, but let's say that some piece of shrapnel, we'll call it shrapnel, from their little explosion, their messed up alarm, hits the dude in the eye and blinds him. Is that like, well, sorry, dude, it's on you?
No, absolutely not. That's on the person that's blowing shrapnel everywhere.
Mark, I love the phone call. You're going to get the conversation going for us, man. Thank you for this. Listen, we're going to talk more about this after Peter LaFari at 8 o'clock. We're going to continue this topic. It's a good one. It's George Brockler on The George Show. Stick around, 710 KNUS.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.